Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino.
Kasama ko ngayon dito sa studio si Tyson Kraft, kababayan nating mula South Australia sa Barossa Valley.
Opo.
Lumipat dito sa Melbourne pero naglagi ng panandalian sa Manila. Nagtrabaho siya doon. Magandang araw, Tyson.
Hello, kamusta po?
Mabuti. Salamat sa panahon mo.
Mabuti po.
I said thanks for your time.
Oh, God. I'm terrible.
Maraming salamat, Tyson, sa pagpunta mo dito. Thanks for coming over. So, nabanggit mo kanina nang nagkukwentuhan tayo. You mentioned that you originally trained as a lawyer. You studied law.
Yeah, that's right.
And you worked as a solicitor for some time.
Yep. Yeah, so straight out of high school in the Barossa Valley, I went to law school when I was 17. I didn't really know what I was going to do in the future. I did want to study music when I was 16, but when I finished high school, my family were not really supportive of that ambition and much preferred that I went to law school. So yeah, I went to law school and became a lawyer.
So you spent like 4 years?
Yeah, opa.
And then worked for a year and a bit.
Yeah, a year and a bit. And then my girlfriend at the time and I, we moved to Sydney and she got a job at another law firm in Sydney and I continued working in the legal industry, yeah, in Sydney.
Do you remember the day when you said, that's it, I don't want to do this anymore?
Yeah, when I was living in Sydney, it was in 2015 and an opportunity come up for me to travel to Manila. I have a talent manager in Asia, specifically in the Philippines, who helped me start getting a lot of work while in Manila. And so it was at that point where I was in Sydney and I was kind of at this make or break point in my life where I could have continued working in the legal industry or I could have pursued my dreams and pursued something that I've always wanted to pursue. And it was at that time, I think specifically it was in 2015 around, I believe, February, late February or early March. And I just decided to pack all my bags in Sydney and I moved to Manila.
What did your mom say? Your mom's Filipina.
Yeah, she was pretty upset.
Every Filipino would have, been so proud to have a lawyer son.
Yeah, and my Lola, she probably took it the worst because she really wanted me to work in the legal industry and to work in something that she perceived as being much more stable and more, I guess she'd feel more proud of me being a lawyer.
She probably saw you working as Chief Justice one of these days.
Yeah, I'll pop.
In the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Gosh, that would have, it would have been a rough ride for me if that was the case.
And so in the Philippines, you worked as a DJ.
I'll pop.
How was it like? So was it the first time that you spent the longest time in the Philippines without parental supervision?
It was. It was the longest time without parental supervision in the Philippines. I've traveled to the Philippines many times before then. I love going back to the Philippines. It's what I consider my second home. I love my family and seeing them. So
your mom's from Negros.
Opo.
But you spent a lot of time in Manila?
Yes, yeah. Because a lot of the work is in Manila. That's where I was based predominantly. I was living in sa Makati po.
So you did DJ?
Yep.
You were DJing, as they say.
Yeah.
When I was young, being a DJ was this whole complicated setup of equalizer, amplifier, vinyl, left and right, and you have to scratch the vinyl. Nowadays, it's just a laptop, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it can be. It can be as simple as having just a laptop and a controller. I think the complexity, okay, the barrier to being a DJ today is much lower than it was, I believe, 10, 20, 30 years ago when the only options were analog, vinyl, turntables and mixers and things like that. Now, software, computers and technology makes it much, much easier to, quote unquote, be a DJ.
And you're much more mobile.
Oh, boy. Absolutely. Yeah, that's one of the great things.
So how did you train to become a DJ?
First and foremost, I'm a music producer, so I make music. DJing was more of an afterthought. It was a means by which I could make money from doing music. To be quite honest with you, the way that I learned how to DJ was through YouTube. I just watched a whole bunch of tutorials for like a day or two.
Because you already had the ear for music.
Oh, but
you just had to make sure that they blended well. Is that how it works?
Yeah, well, it was more like musically, like the finer aspects of music, like the theory, I have a very poor knowledge of, but I would certainly say I have a good oral, like a good ear for music. But it was really the big challenge for DJing is there's a couple. I think making really beautiful and smooth transitions, creating beautiful ebbs and flows and peaks and troughs and climaxes and anticlimaxes and these dramatic effects within your mix are the things that I really spent time learning how to do.
What was it like DJing for the Pinoy crowd?
So wonderful. The Pinoy crowd is so very supportive and lovely, and they're fun. They love to laugh and dance and like really, really, yeah, just really supportive and really encouraging.
Does it get loud, rowdy?
Oh, well.
Rowdy at some, in a at some, happy sense.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. At some events, I mean, yeah, the crowd is pretty crazy, and they like try and grab you and scream and like, yeah, it was really funny. Really, really fun experience.
In the time that you were there, you also did some modeling.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't really like to talk about it. It's pretty embarrassing, but.
Hey, your mom would just be so proud. Did anyone ask you, Tyson, you just play basketball?
Yes. And everyone's so disappointed when I tell them that I can, but very badly.
Because of your height.
Yeah, oh, but.
Tall Pinoys would have to be basketball players.
Yes.
That's meant to be the destiny.
I think if I grew up in the Philippines, I probably would have played basketball, I think, for sure.
During your stay there, what was it that you learned about being Filipino?
I think a big thing that I learned was to act with selflessness. I learned what it means to be really generous. I met people who gave me so much and really made me feel this concept of gratitude much more deeply than I ever had before. This was a time of true transformation for me. I'd moved out of a professional career and into a creative career, and a career that I've always wanted to pursue. I had the support network, the foundations, the opportunities in Manila to kickstart this dream. And yeah, it really did teach me a lot about gratitude and how when people do support you and do believe in you, amazing things can really happen.
Did this give you the courage to finally pursue becoming a musical producer?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's something I just haven't stopped ever since.
And
yeah.
I've seen some of your work pretty good.
Oh, thank you,
Paul. And you can sing too.
Konti lang po. Very badly.
From the time you came back to Melbourne, you have been pursuing your musical career and you've produced a few songs.
Yeah, that's correct. Yep.
So what has life been like on the creative side?
Yeah. So I would say that there are times when I'm very, very creative and very productive. Early last year when I got back from the Philippines, I had a real surge of creative energy and I produced a number of new songs. And again, that's returned with a fiery vengeance. Like now I'm writing basically a song a week. So I've got a whole bunch of new material lined up to be released. It just requires a little bit of strategy around how it's released and how which blogs do the premieres and how that all gets scheduled out. But there was also times where I wasn't writing much at all. I might have been really focused on my studies because I'm doing a master's degree at Monash University in communications. So and then sometimes just life gets in the way, so it can be hard to be producing all the time, consistently making stuff. But it's been really promising. I've had a number of like little milestones along the way these last 18 months since being back in Australia that have given me so much encouragement and a lot of much needed confidence that this music dream could actually become a real thing.
What do you miss most about living in Manila?
Gosh, the most. Probably getting my washing cleaned and pressed.
Miss that too.
No, I really do miss the people the most, honestly. My Lola's first cousin, her name's Lola Annie, she lived in just around the corner from me in Makati, and I would spend time with her a lot, and she was just really, really beautiful.
I bet she fed you a lot.
She fed me a lot. Yeah, and I'm a big boy, so I eat a lot, so I feel pretty bad. But I really miss the people. I miss my manager, my friends, yeah, all the people, all the great people I worked with, clients.
Would you consider going back?
Yeah, absolutely. I really want to make it a priority now to go back, because it has been almost 2 years since I've been back to Manila, and it's long overdue.
Maraming salamat, Tyson Craft.
Maraming salamat po.
Tangkilikin ang higit pang mga kwento sa inyong wika sa pamamagitan ng pagbisita sa sbs.com.au/Filipino.